It is good to be with you tonight and to share the Word of God with you in your harvest service. I do thank Mr. Brown for the invitation and for his welcome, and also the welcome of Morris. I do send you greetings from our Guildford congregation. Let us turn in God's Word. We read from the book of Leviticus tonight. Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus 21 and verse 16 to the end of the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that have any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I the Lord do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron, and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel. And God bless the reading of his word. We'll just briefly pray before the Lord, seek his face. Our Father, we give thee thanks that thou art always in the midst of thy people. Thou dost inhabit the praises of thy people. Thou dost joy over them with singing. We rejoice in this. Where two or three are gathered, thou art there in the midst. So we're confident of thy presence. We pray that thou wilt give thy blessing unto the word proclaimed this evening, that thou wilt bless thy people, that they may be edified, that they may see something more of the glory of Jesus and love thy Son even more. But especially we pray for sinners, awakening, convicting, conversion of the heart of the sinner. So draw sinners and bless the preaching of the gospel. Magnify thy great and holy name for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. I want to leave with you tonight the verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 21. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. He'll eat the bread of God, not just the ordinary holy, but he's able to eat the most holy. He's able to have it all, to have the best. He shall eat the bread of God. And in that word, the gospel is contained. It's good news, I can tell you. It's good news for the priests in the context in which it was written. It rejoiced their hearts to hear this, that they could eat the bread of God. Even though they were most unworthy, they could do that. It was good news for them, and it's good news for sinners. For this message is not just for the priests tonight. It's a message for all the world. He shall eat the bread of his God. So it's a bread of God for sinners that is our subject tonight. Good news for sinners. Now, there are two things in the text that I want to leave with you. There is the provision, the bread of God. And then there is the partaker who partakes of this. He shall eat the bread of his God. Now, there's a provision, first of all, the bread of God. Now, we have to understand what is meant by that. Now, very often in Scripture, bread is taken literally for grain loaf, either wheat or barley, literal bread. But very often it has a wider meaning of, it could be grain meat, or it could be meat. Food can be called bread in a general sense under that metaphor. And I suppose that's the meaning of it in the Lord's Prayer when he teaches us to give us this day our daily bread. It's not that the Lord just wants us to eat loaves. We're thinking about our food there, all our balanced diet under that word bread here. So this word, the bread of God, I believe it refers to all the offerings that were offered to God by the priests. Not just the grain offerings, but the blood offerings, the meat offerings, all the offerings that were offered to God. And there were many of them. These were all sacrifices to God, but they were also called God's bread, God's food for the priests. Now, by bread of God is not meant food for God. Whenever they offered the offerings, they're not offering food to God. They're offering offerings unto God, propitiatory offerings. But they provide food for the priests. And so the priests can eat the offerings, the meat offerings. Well, the whole burnt offering they couldn't eat because it was wholly consumed. But most of the other offerings they could partake of. They could partake of the holy things. They could eat them. And that's how they lived. That's how they got life. That's how they were sustained in their service for God. They lived by the offerings. They had life, physical life. All the nourishment that they needed for the service of God, they had life by the bread of God, by the offerings of God. And that they are referring to the bread of God as the offerings. You can see that in verse 17. Speak unto Aaron, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. He can't offer the sacrifices. He can't minister at the burnt altar. He can't do that, the priest with blemish. So we're talking about all the offerings by fire at the altar. Now, this expression, bread of God, is only found in the book of Leviticus. In this chapter and in one or two other chapters, the bread of God, it's a very definite term. And you don't read about it anywhere else in the Old Testament until you come to the New Testament. Whenever the fulfillment arrived, whenever the true bread of God came into the world, and he used this term. He had this very word on his lips, bread of God. And he knew what he was saying when he used the term. He knew what he was speaking about. He knew where the term came from, that it was very important in the priestly work, in the tabernacle. Because in John 6, verse 33, he says, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So they said that to the Jews. Now the Jews didn't understand him because they were blind. You know, sinners are blind. And you need to pray, sinner, that the Lord will open your eyes. Even tonight, pray, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see what it means when you call yourself the bread of God. Help me to understand this. So the Lord says, I'm the bread of God. He's a fulfillment. He's a reality. The bread of God in the tabernacle, the offerings were just a shadow. They were the pictures. They were the promises until the fulfillment came to whom they applied. And whenever he came into the world, he says, I'm the fulfillment. I am the bread of God. I'm the offering. And I give my life unto the world. Not just to the priests, It's not just Leviticus 21 now and the Levitical priesthood. No, it's the world now. I'm the bread of God which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. It's Jew and Gentile now. It's men and women now of all races and classes and cultures. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I am that bread of life. So Christ is telling us that he is the fulfillment of our text tonight. He is the reality of what this text is all about. He is the bread of God. Now let's think about that. The bread of God. That means he's provided by God. That's what that term means. The bread that God gives. The bread that God provides. As I said, it's not bread for God to feed him, but it's the bread that he has for us. He has provided for us life. Spiritual, everlasting, eternal life. In his provision, Jesus Christ, he's made him to be the bread to bring to us life, to give us life. So he's been provided by the Father. This was always the plan and purpose of God. This is what the setting up of the Levitical worship was all about, until the years passed, that the people of God might be fed by the promises concerning the true bread who should come unto man. And so he sent his Son into the world. And just as God provided manna in the wilderness, so he provided Christ. He's the Lamb of God provided for us sinners. He's the provision of God. That's what Jesus Christ is. He's a bread prepared by God. You see, bread has to be prepared, doesn't it? We don't just eat the grain. There's a preparation. And the body of Christ was prepared for an offering. Just like bread must be prepared. And for Christ to be meat and life-giving sustenance as an offering for us sinners, he had to have a body. He had to have blood. The bread is his body and his blood. He that eateth my body and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life. He has the body, and that body was prepared. You remember he said, a body hast thou prepared me, that he might be the sustenance of sinners. That offering is meat indeed and drink indeed. Prepared in the womb of a virgin, supernaturally and omnipotently prepared by the Holy Spirit when he enfolded the womb of Mary, and of her substance formed the humanity of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the incarnation, the Word made flesh, God become visible, the bread of God to be the offering in his body and blood. And he's pure bread, an offering without spot and blemish. He shall eat the bread of his God, the most holy and the holy. And he is the holiest of all, the spotless, sinless, pure Christ. And as bread without leaven, so he had no sin, uncorrupted and incorruptible, like that manna, different from all the other manna that was put into the tabernacle, into the holy place, and laid up and didn't corrupt. He is that bread, that pure, incorruptible bread. And of course, the bread, as we know, had to be pressed and pounded, because bread as grain has to be sifted. It has to be grounded in the mill. It has to be pounded and punched and worked with, and then it has to be put into the fire, into the oven. And the offerings, the bread of God and the offerings, they all had to be cut and slain. And there had to be suffering and death and blood shedding. Obtaining the bread of God for the priest to eat, there was always death. There was always sacrifice. There was always a pouring out of the blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the bread of God who was pressed and crushed for us sinners. You remember Gethsemane, the place of the press, and he's crushed. There came out of his body drops of blood as he was crushed. And he was bruised and battered and pounded in the Sanhedrin and under Pilate's custody. And he was wounded and cut and pierced. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, plowed with the Roman scourge, and placed into the fiery oven of Calvary. That's what happened to the bread of God, that we might have life, that we might be able to partake of the life unending, the spiritual life, the life unceasing, in this presence of God forever and ever. And so he was pressed and pounded bread. And he was presented bread. Because all the offerings, the bread of God, they were all offered unto God. They were all sacrifices, you see. And they had to be presented to God, offered up unto God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was an offering. He was offered unto God. He was also the priest. He fulfills both roles here. He's the priest without blemish who offers up the bread of God and is himself the bread of God who offers up himself. He fulfills Leviticus 21 completely. He offered himself. He presented himself without spot to God. Perfectly, lovingly, kindly for our souls. Making atonement. Christ is the offering and the offerer, the presented bread. This chapter has largely to do with the purity of the priests. The priests who were to offer the offerings had to be pure ceremonially. They had to be without blemish. They couldn't have any deformity or anything odd about them. They had to be without spot. And they picture Christ in his purity. And Christ is the bread of life who offered himself a pure offering to God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, presented himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works who served the living God, who gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And he is propitiatory bread. That is why he offered himself, for sin, to deal with sin in the mystery of Calvary. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, obtaining reconciliation with God for sinners, satisfying divine justice, providing a sweet savor in heaven, so that sinners in the power of it may enter in. That powerful atoning offering. And he's now bred in the presence of God. Because like that manna that was kept in the pot and brought into the holy place to continually be before the Lord, so that is true with the bread of God, Jesus Christ. He rose again from the dead, and he's gone up into the sanctuary, into the presence of God. He's the living bread. He's the bread of life now for sinners. He that feeds on him by faith now has everlasting life. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures only of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's where he is. And we're to look on to him. We're to lift our eyes on to Jesus in the sanctuary where he is, and to believe and trust in him, the living bread. Set your affection on things above, where Christ is, the bread of God. And he's plentiful bread too, isn't he? Sufficient bread. Sufficient for the needs of sinners. Sufficient to satisfy all your spiritual wants, all your deficiencies, all your coming short of the glory of God. The life that he provides to you is life indeed. Life more abundant that will meet all your needs. Only Christ is that. I am the bread of God, he says. There's no other. Not Mary, not the saints. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ alone is this bread, satisfying bread, providing for the wants, providing for the conscience, bringing peace to the soul, washing away the stain, calming the fears and the terror of an awakened conscience. Only Christ satisfies. Only Christ meets your needs, sinner. Only Christ is the sin bearer. He is the only one who stood in your place. He is the all-sufficient, the plentiful supply of bread. And he offers himself unto the world. So he's meat for you. Meat sufficient for you. And that's what I want you to know tonight, if you're unconverted. Whenever Christ says, I am the bread of God, he is speaking to you. He is inviting you. He is calling you to himself, to believe in him. So he's a provision. But then let's think of the partaker here of the bread. The next thing we have to view is this he in the text. He shall eat the bread of his God. Who is this person in the context that can do this? Well, the short answer is, it is the poor priest with blemish. With blemish, mind you. He can't offer the sacrifice. He has blemish. But here's good news. He can eat. He can partake. He can enjoy. You see, there were priests who were blemished, and they could not go into the presence to offer the bread of God. And that's just like us sinners. We can't go into the presence of God to offer him something, to make ourselves right with him. We can't do that. We are sinners with blemish. We are like these priests. And so these priests with blemish, they picture us, don't they? They picture sinners. And such a man, as I said, he couldn't offer. He couldn't be a priest who makes reconciliation. Now, God has chosen all of this, these blemishes, and identified them, not because he has malice to those who have deformities, but because in his grace he deals with us all who have even worse deformity of sin. And deformity not just of our body and of our frame, but of our heart. Perverseness and depravity and deformity within us. These are pictures of the sinner. And so such men who are described here with their different blemishes, they picture fallen men and women. They partake of the fall, and they're so unlike Adam in the first creation. But this is the amazing thing, that they can eat the bread of God. This is amazing grace, that they can do this. And this is wonderful. The blemished priest might have thought, I'm cut off. I can't offer. I'm blemished. I must starve. I cannot have life. I cannot live of the holy things. I must die. I must perish. And this teaches us that the blemished sinner doesn't have to perish. He shall eat the bread of his God and live and have life. So here, in the midst of all this sadness and bleakness, all this ugliness that is described for us here, if we just look at it, verse 18, whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man. These are all images of fallen sinners. We're blind. We don't see things clearly. We're in darkness. Lame. The lame cannot walk aright. They cannot walk uprightly. Flat-nosed. Or anything superfluous. An ugliness. A facial deformity that takes away the beauty, that mars the image of God in man, in his face. This is all of us as sinners. We have to hide our face from God. We have to bow our heads and beat upon our breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We have no beauty. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have nothing to be proud about. There is nothing lovely about us. We're ugly. Ugly, deformed sinners. Broken-footed, broken-handed. Their body broken, their heart broken. The life broken. The family broken. The walk broken. Any service for God broken, crooked back, bent over, not upright, not straight, dwarf, not formed, not growing up into an image of uprightness, not taking the image of Christ, not even taking the image of our Father Adam in his unfallen state, but dwarf. Come short of the glory of God. Blemish in the eye, scurvy and scabs on the flesh, stones broken, life gone, fruitless and barren, like sinful eunuchs. And yet, he shall eat the bread of his God. And this is you, sinner. You're all of this, as I am all of this. But I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ too. You can partake of him by faith. You can receive him with the mouth of faith and embrace him with the arms of faith. And you don't have to despair, sinner. You don't have to say, the Lord has separated me from his people. You don't have to say, I'm a eunuch. I'm one without blemish. I'm a dry tree. I'm without hope. No, even to you the Lord can say, I will give you an everlasting name. If you come to Christ, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, and so let him eat the bread of God. Now, if you look at our text, you will see that while the partaker has blemish, there is something about him. He is related to God, because it says there, he shall eat the bread of his God. He can come to God, the living and true God, because he can eat because he has faith. Because he has a union. Because he has promises in the gospel and promises in grace in the covenant. He has a word. He has this word before him itself in Leviticus 22 and all the writings of Moses. He has the word. And if he has faith in his God. And so you can't eat the bread of God and be an atheist. You can't eat the bread of God without faith. You can't eat the bread of God without the gospel, without the gospel promise, and believing that, and trusting in that God, and believing that promise, and believing the word. And so these priests had faith, and they believed. They recognized the claims of God. And the sinner has to recognize the Father who provides the bread of his God. He has to recognize the Father, and he has to recognize the Son. And he has to believe in the Father, the word of the Father, and the provision of the Father. And he has to receive the Son, the bread. So there is faith. There is participation. There is the necessity of believing the word. And he who doesn't believe the gospel, who rejects the gospel, who rejects Christ, who rejects the promise, he cannot partake. You have to have faith. Repent and believe the gospel, sinner. That's what the Bible says. And his faith is seen in his participation, in his eating, in his partaking. And so these priests, they didn't despair. They rejoiced. Though they could not come in and could not offer, they could eat. They could enjoy the bread. They could have fellowship in the bread. They could participate in the life of the priests, by faith. They believed. And so he yet with joy and gladness. He didn't despair. He didn't say, oh, this cannot be true. I can't believe this. I don't believe this. This is false. He dare not say that. He believed. And he ate with joy the bread of God. And sinner, that's what you have to do. Like Zacchaeus, he received Christ with joy, with gladness, with faith. So he's offered to you the bread of God, the life of the world. He's offered to you. Take him. Believe in him. Receive him. eat his body and drink his blood. Participate in that everlasting life in the embrace of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So come, sinner, and don't despair. And don't say, I'm too broken-footed. I'm too lame. I'm too vile a sinner. I'm too unclean. I'm too wicked. Don't despair, but come believing. Like the woman at the well, like Zacchaeus, and so many others, come believing and receive Jesus Christ, who is to us all the bread of life. Amen.